it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
21-day window. He got injured in January, and he has worked his ass off to get back on the field with his teammates. So it'll be great to have him back at practice. Also said I'd give you an update on Jaden. He has been medically cleared by the doctors. He'll practice full today. As far as other injuries and practice updates, we'll put out the injury report later today. And also want to give a big shout-out and a welcome to Paul Toboni and the Nationals, and definitely pulling for those guys, I believe, as he's got started today. So glad to open up to you guys and get rolling.
What have you seen with Jaden over the last week or so, really, as he's dealt with this?
Just a steadfast approach to it, Nikki, first off, to put the work in to say, okay, I got to do all the things to do to get better. And then once you kind of get over the top of that, then the throw in the movements to go. So that's what we saw in terms of the work to get better.
And as far as the other guys, Terry, especially Noah, John Bates, where are they?
Yeah, all are trending up, and that's what I was referring to. I'll give you some updates on those tonight, but we're making good progress with those guys.
Dan, what will the next 48 hours be like in terms of what you're looking for from Jaden before you make a decision?
Just real back into the fold of it, David. He'll get all the reps at the practice, so we'll be back at a full speed, the execution, the timing, all of that. That's really what I'm looking for, but he's definitely chomping at the bit to get going. So, or just running the offense, being back to himself. That was our discussion today to make sure, man, like all the looks, all the calls, and the speed of the practice.
I know you understand his competitive nature, and I'm sure he understands your authority, but I wonder what those conversations are like when he's telling you I can go and you're telling him, I hear you, but not yet.
Yeah. It's good that I've known him for a year and a half now. I think, you know, when you're first getting to know somebody, you're feeling that out, but knowing what his best looks like and also, you know, having trust, you know, in one another to do that. And so I think that's a big piece of it.
Hi, Coach. You guys are heading into Los Angeles early. What is the benefit for your team to have that extra day of practice at the Coliseum already in Southern California?
Yeah, we decided that in the spring that we oftentimes like to, you know, take an extended trip when we can. We had done it for a trip last year. We know, obviously, we're going to Madrid. We'll do that one as an extended time. I think it's some good spaces for the team to get together. It's also, to get acclimated, to get ready. There's a big time change with that. And so we thought we would make that decision to go out early, get ourselves, you know, fully ready, you know, to go play at our best.
With working Cosme back into the lineup, you guys have had a lot of change on the offensive line. How difficult is that for maybe your signal callers to adapt to all those changes up front?
Yeah, it is part of it, and it's not what you want. Like, we're, you know, you'd love for all the guys to play in their spots, but that's just not how it is. I think when we look around the NFL right now, there's a lot of moving parts, you know, on all the teams, ours included. And Sam getting back into it is a step in that direction. But he also has to get back into rhythm and, you know, the combinations and all the communication. So we're just pumped that he's put this kind of work in to allow him to, you know, be ready to get back with the group this quickly.
Over here.
Got it.
Last year, you guys were seventh, I believe, in the league in time of possession. That's not the case this year so far. With the return of presumably number five, is that really what you want out of your squad, is to be able to keep that opposing defense off the field and do what you guys can do offensively?
Yeah, we like that, and we feel like, you know, offensively we're definitely making strides. On our run game, on our run actions, the play actions that go with that. A good piece of that is also third down. That's one of the areas we really need to dig into, because now your drives are continuing. So those are a big piece of that. So, it's part of the formula for sure, Chick. I still feel like it's early days as we're going, and we've got plenty of work, you know, that we need to put in, but that is certainly the goal for us, yes.
With going out to LA early, does that change the timeline for you in terms of evaluating these injured guys who you don't know if they're going to go?
No, because we'll go through practice, you know, as we get into tomorrow. But no, it doesn't change that time frame on that.
And then I wanted to ask you about Robbie Chosen and kind of more broadly that outside receiver spot. What do you envision for him? And then also, what's your level of comfort with guys like Luke and Jalen and even Debo playing in those outside receiver spots?
Yeah. The silver lining, that's maybe not the right word. Maybe we can think of another name for an added benefit, was with Noah and Terry missing some significant time early. I think it ramped up Jalen's space where he was able to even play outside some in the preseason. We did that with Debo, and Luke had already done some of that. So where at once we weren't as interchangeable, and now that we are, I think that's a good step, you know, forward. Robbie's, you know, some of the guys had experience with him, coaching with him before. Cliff has, Wes has. So we had some background with him, came in, had an excellent workout. And so one of the things I appreciate from Adam, just always digging and competing to see, you know, is there a spot to go? And sometimes it works out great. Other times we just keep competing and digging, but we're pumped Robbie's here. And he's working hard already to, you know, learn it and grow. But, and there is some familiarity for him too.
Yeah, I know it's been a bumpy start for the season for the defense overall, but what gives you confidence that the unit will be able to turn it around moving forward for the rest of the year?
A lot of confidence. I thought, you know, there's a lot of progress that I thought, you know, with the exception of the second half on third down, that's a big piece of how you want to play. And I thought, you know, in two games, the energy intensity has been what I'd hoped it would be in pass rush, and two others, not so much. And so that gives me a good sense of what I know it can look like. Had we not seen that, I might feel differently. So I've got plenty of confidence in how we want to play and what it will look like. And so I'm very much looking forward to seeing that.
Dan, in terms of the secondary and you know, those back end guys, how do you improve communication? Like, how, as a defensive minded coach and your staff, how can you help improve communication with the secondary guys?
Well, I think first it starts in meeting rooms to make sure when you make a call, like you're just echoing it. It's the collaboration, you know, that you're working on together. You take that into the, you know, the walkthrough portions and then onto the field. So you just emphasize it in every way. It's not going back to walk, crawl, run, but it's just the emphasis of it over and over. Say it again. If you don't hear it, repeat it back. Communication is also sent and acknowledged. So if I give you a call, you're giving me a signal back. Some's verbal, some's nonverbal. So like most things, you get what you emphasize, and we're certainly going to dig in hard on that.
Curious about the balance and kind of the mindset of applying pressure in terms of when to throw a blitz, when to go more blitz heavy, when to rush four. Take me through that balance of, like, over the course of a game or even a game plan. Like, how does that plan kind of get constructed?
Well, some of it's based on the opponent, some on, you know, your matchups and where you want to go. If you can rush with four and affect the QB, obviously that gives you some advantages in some ways because you have another defender, you know, that you can use into coverage. Road, home, you know, are they going with six man or seven man to protect, or, you know, six, you know, or five? So all of that factors in. You want to have some balance, like most things, like an offense that has either all run or all pass. You want the balance to work on both. And I think the same thing on a good defense, that you want to have the ability to show a blitz, come out of it, show like you're in coverage, bring the blitz, and be able to get in and out of check. So those are all things that make up a good defense, and you need a balance of both.
You're listening to Dan Quinn. He led with Jaden Daniels, has been medically cleared, and he will practice today full go.
Balance between having the emphasis on this week as well as the patience on the long run.
Yeah, it's a great topic. One for you know, all teams that you're going, you're starting to get your identity set. You really want to dig in on what that looks like. At the top for us, our central theme of the program is it's competition. And that's not just against the opponent. That's with ourselves, see how good we can get together as a team. I loved in the game against the Raiders, the complimentary football, you know, this a return to a score, to working together. So the competitive nature of us doing it together, I think that allows you to not look too far down the road, see how good you can get. You work your skills, and we just try not to look down the road. It's about improvement and getting better, and when you can stay in that pocket, You don't have to look too far down the line. There's plenty to work on, you know, right in front of you for the matchup, for the game. And so that's how we choose to dig in.
Dan, looking at Frankie Louvelle, first couple weeks seemed to have more pass rushes than the last couple weeks. I don't know.
I don't know if that's true. Yeah. Okay,
just looking at the numbers, maybe. Okay. But I'm curious, like, has there been not a de-emphasis, but maybe more of an emphasis on him dropping into coverage? Or would you like to see him rush a little bit more?
Yeah, I think it all depends on how to go to win. Like, obviously, I want him going forward as often as we can. But sometimes the game dictates that, too, when he's rushing, when he's blitzing, you know, how we're using him in those spaces. So, yeah, we always want to put him in positions to make plays. So wherever that looks like, you know, that's where we're at. But I don't think of him any more or less. I thought, honestly, last week he played really good and solid and square in the run game. But maybe there might not have been as many pass opportunities for him in that space.
With Marshawn, do you feel teams are going after him? And I guess that would be part one. And then two, how do you feel he has been performing?
Yeah, so part one, when you play middle field coverage, like both corners, you know, get targeted to where you go. Sometimes it's their matchup, sometimes it's ours. I don't feel that's been the case. And then the second part, can you repeat?
How would you assess that?
So I'd say there's, when you play corner and you play offensive tackle, like there's a lot of plays that go good that go unnoticed, and there's one that goes up top and it's like there's one or there's a sack, and like that's part of, you know, living life, you know, outside. And what I do know about him, like, this is one competitive guy, and like he's always down for the challenge and for the fight. And so I'm looking forward to working with him again this week and as we get rocking again.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Coach. So you've mentioned, you know, September football. So now it's October. So what does October football, what's been the message around what you want to see this month?
Yeah, I think the execution, honestly, Candy, that's the big thing. I want to make sure the energy home, road, in terms of, you know, how we want to play. And somebody brought up starting fast to me. Starting fast doesn't mean a touchdown on the first drive or a three and out. It's a speed, an intensity, an urgency to go. So I don't want to, like, confuse what that would look like. But I do want to see the execution really, you know, start to dig in. We've had four games together. Roles have now begun to emerge. And so, like, it's a good month to go really dig in to go get better. And now that some of those roles have emerged, that's a big deal for it. Some guys have had to step in, and I've liked what I've seen in some of those instances, Candy, to see guys step up when the injuries take place, knowing that that's a part of it, and the opportunity came early for some of the players, and so it's nice to see them deliver and show and express themselves. Hey, man, I can help. I can do these things, and so I think that's been a big piece of it.
Hey, Coach, sticking with the injury situation, it's been challenging in this early part of the year. With some of those guys that have stepped in, do you have to tweak any of those things a little bit because of the injuries? You suffered another one last week with Jean Baptiste, and who will be filling in for him?
Yes, you do want to, you know, not one size fits all, Donna, into that. So when, you know, somebody's featured in a different role or a different spot, it's not just, you know, add water and the same result will take place. So you may have to do things a little bit differently. I think we maybe spoke about that a little bit with Austin and what that would look like, and then with Will. So with Javonte, in his case, we signed Preston a few weeks back. And so as he's progressing, those would be some snaps that would go his way.
Dan, when you have a guy like Jaden Daniels coming off an injury, obviously he wants to play out of the pocket. Obviously you want to use as many of his abilities as you can. Is there a way to balance that with protecting him and keeping him healthy, or is that something you can't be concerned about?
Yeah, I think you can. Not necessarily the calling of the game, but maybe I had said it a few weeks ago, the only thing worse than missing games is, you know, not taking the lessons from there. And as a scramble goes, when do I get down? When do I get out of bounds? And so like Jaden's still growing too, you know, like we feel like he's been playing for a while. And so as he's into his second year, like there's still things that he's growing on too. And that's kind of the fun and exciting part, that like he hasn't anywhere near the top of what he's going to be. And so that lights me up. But those are some things. You know, where do you grow? When do you take your shot? When do you not? And so those are the lessons you want somebody to learn at quarterback or at any spot. And I certainly fully expect him to do that. That's the type of competitor he is. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Dan Quinn. Telling you right from the jump, Jaden Daniels has been medically cleared. He will practice full today. This is the first practice day in preparation for the Chargers on Sunday at 4:25. As it relates to the other three players, Terry, John Bates, Noah Brown, trending up, good progress. You'll see their status on the injury report later on today, and I guess we will be following that. But I would certainly guess, unless there is a setback, you know, medically, Jaden Daniels practicing full today is a real sign he is going to be the starting quarterback Sunday against the Chargers, and we can start hopefully the process of a rest of the season, fingers crossed, you know, another 13 games with, you know, an offense led by their best player. And Marcus Mariota did a phenomenal job in relief against the Raiders and the Falcons. But if they're going to be what we thought they could be, or some of us thought they could be before the season started, they need number five at the helm. There's no doubt about that. There were a couple of other things. I did not realize they were heading to LA early. Talked about their opportunity to do that, you know, with Madrid as well, but it was not as much the focus on getting to, you know, a Western time zone early to prepare to acclimate. He did mention those things, but to spend more time together away from home. And he said they did that last year. Yeah, remember the game they did that last year was the Arizona game last year. Also, by the way, a week four game. They went west in week four last year. This is week five, obviously, but it was close enough. It was September 29th, the game was last year. And they destroyed the Arizona Cardinals. Now, the Chargers are a better opponent, that's for sure. But remember the rushing output, the game in general, that was coming off also a Monday night win over the Cincinnati Bengals, sort of the big, you know, coming out party for Jaden Daniels. But God, they went nuts in that game at Arizona, and was really one of those games where you're short week going west. Josh Harris committed to spending the extra money, something that Snyder certainly wasn't doing as an owner. There was a lot of praise for ownership in doing it that way. And Brian Robinson Jr. had a 100-yard-plus day. Jeremy McNichols went nuts. Jaden had another ridiculous completion percentage game. He was 26 of 30 in that game, and they rolled 42-14. This week could be different because the opponent's different for sure, but they're heading out that out there early. And he also was asked sort of where he is confidence-wise with the defense at this point. Do we have that soundbite? Okay, play that.
Yeah, I know it's been a bumpy start for the season for the defense overall, but what gives you confidence that the unit will be able to turn it around moving forward for the rest of the year?
A lot of confidence. I thought, you know, there's a lot of progress that I thought, you know, with the exception of the second half on third down, that's a big piece of how you want to play. And I thought, you know, in two games, the energy intensity has been what I'd hoped it would be in pass rush, and two others, not so much. And so that gives me a good sense of what I know it can look like. Had we not seen that, I might feel differently. So I've got plenty of confidence in how we want to play and what it will look like. And so I'm very much looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah, look, he's got to publicly be confident. And I'm not saying that he's stretching the truth, but the answer can't be inside that building because they had a great pass rush against two woeful offensive lines the day they played them. I mean, the Giants didn't have their best offensive lineman, Andrew Thomas. The Raiders were a bad offensive line going into the game and didn't have their top guard playing in the game. He was active, but he didn't play in the game. You know, you got to, I would think, you know, certainly you can be misled by those results. And I think the truth was, you know, sort of played out that way in the game against Atlanta on Sunday, where they didn't have much pass rush. Now, the Chargers are really banged up along the offensive line. They lost arguably one of the best tackles in the game in Slater before the season started. They lost Joe Alt on Sunday after about 10 snaps against the Giants. So they have a bit of a makeshift offensive line they'll be going with Sunday. That could be an opportunity for the defense to have another good outing, stopping the run and getting after Justin Herbert. The Giants really took advantage of that. Herbert was the most pressured quarterback in the league on Sunday. He's actually been the most pressured quarterback over the last two games in the league against the Giants and the Broncos. But the Giants and the Broncos are better defensive teams, talent-wise, than Washington is. They won that Denver game. They won that Denver game with some incredible Justin Herbert magic at the end of the game, down 7, driving for a game-tying touchdown on an incredible throw to Keenan Allen for a touchdown, and then getting the ball back and getting into field goal range for the game winner. The Giant game, it was very self-destructive. The Giants really dominated the line of scrimmage, and they got after Herbert because of that banged-up offensive line, for sure. But the Chargers had 14 penalties in the game. They had 2 turnovers. You know, they struggled at a lot of things that were more some of the demise was their own doing. Now, some of those penalties were caused by the Giants and the turnovers as well. But, yeah, there was an opportunity. As poor as they were in the game, there was still an opportunity for them to win that game, in part because Jackson Dart was playing his first game, you know, and he was not great in this game. Took a bunch of sacks, didn't see it, was good as a rusher, actually came out of the game briefly, and Russell Wilson went in for a couple of plays. But Sunday, man, is a fascinating matchup. I just thought that answer was interesting, where he focused on two pretty, you know, incapable opponents along the offensive line. We might get a third Sunday. I think that's the reason the line is short. I think that there is a real possibility that Washington defensively ends up having a much better game than it had Sunday because of the issues the Chargers O-line has. But of course, the big reason is that Jaden Daniels is coming back. Oh, Sam Cosmi, 21-day window, ACL injury in that Detroit game. It would be nice to get him back fully healthy as well. I think it's going to be important that they get, you know, at least Terry back or Noah Brown back. Get, you know, one or two of the three back for Sunday. I think that would be big. All right, we're done for the day. Back tomorrow. Chris Russell's next.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.